Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Barbara. I'm a compulsive eater from Albuquerque. I want to welcome you to our workshop, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. We're going to do this quick and simple, just a little housekeeping. The girls are going to share about 12 to 15 minutes. And when we're done with the shares, we're going to open it up for sharing. And if you want to come up to the mic and share, you've got a little disclaimer you have to sign. Otherwise, you're going to have to whisper it and do it psychically. So I'm going to do this quick. I just want to say that some of us have taken very hard knocks to learn in this, that job or no job, wife or no wife. This is out of the big book, so work with me. We simply do not stop drinking so long as we place dependence upon other people ahead of dependence on God. That's from page 98 in the big book. And we will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. We will suddenly realize that higher power is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. And the reason I'm calling this the good, the bad, and the ugly is that we can abstain under all circumstances, the good ones, the bad ones, and the ones that suddenly turn ugly without us knowing this is going to happen. So without further ado, I'd really like to get this started and let these wonderful ladies share to share about the good. I welcome, ask you to please give a warm welcome to Barbara from Atlanta.
Well, I'd first like to thank Barbara for calling me. So thank you very much for allowing me to be part of this workshop. And when she called me, she's like, oh, yeah, it's the good, the bad, the ugly. I said, oh, we're doing Clint Eastwood. Okay, I can work with that. So, yeah, my name is Barbara D. I'm out of Atlanta, Georgia, originally from Brooklyn, New York. I found recovery in Atlanta, Georgia, so I'm grateful for that. And I found CEA Hal on January 30th, 2006, I was introduced to Compulsive Eaters Anonymous Hal. After having a recovery in OA Hal, however, leaving OA Hal, so because I really feel like you got to go through the ugly and the bad to get to the good. So that's actually what happened for me. I had relapsed, I'd regained about 100 pounds, and I was back on the floor, you know, in misery. So just a few things I wanted to share, and I am going to reference my notes. So the good times and our, for me, experiences in recovery, and this is a threefold recovery. It's not just about the physical. So physically, you can see that I look like, I feel like a normal size. But at one time, prior to coming back, I was 220 pounds. So physically, the good news is that I can go into my closet today and not be distressed that I'm going to have to wear a size 22. I can, in fact, you know, I have clothes for, because I've been in maintenance now for close to 20 years. I did have some slips, some slats, and relapses in CEA. How the good news and the good experience is that this time I didn't leave. You know, I stayed for the miracles that are happening in my life, like the good times of being able to go to Seattle, Washington, and be with my son and not be the helicopter mom that I was for most of his life. Because I said, okay, so you really wanted to leave your mama. You went all the way from Georgia to the Pacific Northwest, the last state in the North Americas. However, today we have a beautiful adult-adult relationship because I was that mom. I was, you know, helicopter, train conductor, all of that. And that was really in all of my experiences and relationships, which is one of the good times that I'm hoping to have before I make that transition, is to be in a loving relationship with someone, because I jacked up a whole lot of relationships. So now I'm an empty nester and I'm alone. But I can still work through that, because I'm having some really good experiences in recovery because of CEA Hal, and because of, and I wanted to talk about the emotional that I'm experiencing today, which is, you know, although I am nervous and I'm a little anxious right now, when I get to that place of feeling anxious and overwhelmed, you know, I can take this thing called a pause, which is not what I used to do. I just wanted to get through it. I wanted to be in denial about it. So today, you know, I can take a pause. I can take a prayer. I can connect with some folks. I can actually look at myself and say, okay, you're making yourself crazy, you know, and that's something that comes with that that need to control the outcome. So I'm learning that I don't need to do that. That's not why I'm even here. I'm here to really enjoy good times. I think that's what my higher power wants for me. So there's someone I met a few years ago, and she talks about not taking ourselves too damn seriously. So learning to just be lighthearted and loving. But I had to get to that place because my story is that I lost my mom at 14. So, you know, at the end of the day, it seemed like I had to figure everything out on my own, really at the age of 8 when she had a chronic illness. So I'm now 62. I'm learning like, okay, I don't have to control anything. I just need to like enjoy this life. Now, do things happen? Things do happen. And as long as I'm breathing and existing, chaos and confusion and, you know, dis-ease and disorder will happen. But I'm big on affirmations. So one of the things I say that helps me to get through and have a good experience is that may there be no chaos, may there be no confusion or dis-ease or disorder. And even though that may happen, it's all about how I'm going to react to that because it's going to happen. Right? We had a situation yesterday. Okay, I woke up and they said Microsoft had a situation that put us all, some of us, well, some folks didn't get here. So how would I have reacted to that pre-recovery? You know, I'd probably be at the airport eating everything at, you know, the little concession stands because I'm not going to get on my flight. Or, you know, I might have been cussing out the folks who trying to get me on the plane. Yeah, I don't know. That would have been possibly my reaction. So today, the good news is that, you know, with the structure and discipline we have and a power greater than myself, I just pray, may thy will be done. Oh, I need help. You know, and help does come. It seems almost immediately. It's just quite miraculous how my higher power is working in my life today. So, yes, I experience, of course, not so good times, bad times, but the good times are so outweighing the bad and the ugly. So spiritually, God appears in my world when I step aside and let God in. That's something that I write. I'm in another program. So I'm in another program where I have to use this thing called money. So that has been really great. In addition to the fact that I have to eat every day, I also have to spend money every day. So that's helping me so much because when I let God in, you know, I step aside. It's amazing what God brings me. I mean, opportunities and situations that I would have never, ever believed, like being here this week as a delegate. That's a good time for me because I got to meet other people. I'm now on a committee that is much needed. And hopefully, as someone said, our chair, and I'm the vice chair, she said, we just need to do some of the actions. We don't have to fix it. And that's the thing. Sometimes we want to fix stuff. And that's where all the chaos comes in. I don't have to fix anything. I just have to take some actions forward so that, you know, God's outcome, which is always going to be better than my outcome. That's my experience in terms of good times in recovery, that my outcome is so limited and God's is like way out there. It's unlimited. We get unlimited power in this program. And that I'm not just saying that. It's real. You know, we all are here and have lived through the pandemic. That wasn't a good time, right? But we're here today, so we're enjoying this good time in recovery. I manage a center, and one of the things I said to Barbara when I thought about, like, good times, for 30 years, I've been in the hospitality industry. So one of the things that I enjoy doing most, and many of you might have met me at the front door yesterday, I like to welcome people. And part of it is, yes, maybe my people pleasing, but today that's another good experience that I know how to say no, right? Because it's not about me checking the box of, oh, she likes me, he likes me, they approve of me, because that's what I did for so many years. And at the end of the day, and I heard someone in a meeting say, I was really being dishonest. Because I'm not being authentic if I'm doing everything for you, and then later I'm pissed off because I'm doing everything for you. So, like, hello. So today it's about, you know, we could actually do too much service and then we're really not having a good time. The thing is, we want to have a good time doing service. So when I was asked to be a delegate, I was ready in my heart. I just felt like, okay, God is giving me this beautiful, and it wasn't even a nudge. It was like, this is your time, you know, and I feel like we all know when it is our time, if in fact, as Barbara said in the reading, we get this beautiful instinct, it's not me, it's God, if in fact I'm connected. So that's the other good experience. I grew up in a church. I was baptized at 13. Somewhere along the line, I went to college and, you know, hello. At the end of the day, you know, I'm grateful to get back to this place, which is so different than my experience. Did you get me? Did we have a time? I'm good?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I don't want to start, you know, preaching up in here. So anyway, at the end of the day, you know, I have such a different experience with my higher power. It is, in fact, like a loving parent. And I know during the times when I was being that helicopter mom, one of the things I prayed and asked God is that, can I be a parent like you so that my son and I can have this wonderful relationship? Because at the end of the day, what I'm learning is that they're always, you know, my child is going to be my child until ever. And it is different when they're adults, because now he checks me at the door. And I had an experience this past holiday where I was visiting him in Seattle, and he's a recovery baby. So actually, I was in OA How when I got pregnant, and then he was the one who actually at 7 years old said, Mom, do you remember that meeting we used to go to where they had babysitting? And I said, okay, God's speaking through my child. That was another wonderful experience that led me back into the rooms, because I was 220 pounds and miserable and making his life miserable. And he did not deserve that, you know. So we have good experiences now, you know, adult. He just recommended something because I'm having some memory stuff going on. So he sent me that yesterday. We had a FaceTime moment, you know. So it's really, for me at this point, the good times are having good times with myself. So some of the things that I do, I'm a novice gardener. I probably have a zucchini that's going to be ready to harvest when I get back home. I've planted beautiful seeds like dahlias and gladiolas. And thank God I took pictures, because when the heat came, they all dried up this summer. I really enjoy that kind of thing and want to do more of it. In the business that I'm in, I do still enjoy meeting and greeting people and doing whatever I need to do to be of service. But CEA How and my other program have helped me to do that better. Now, do I get still triggered by folks? Absolutely. Do I sometimes want to control the outcome of the situation? Absolutely. But today I have a program of recovery that says, okay, if you want to have a better time and a better life and a better relationship, okay, this is what you need to do. And I get to do that. I get to do that every morning when I wake up and I do my meditation. I have some devotionals that I read that really recenter me and ground me for the day. I'm less in my head. It's almost amazing. Like, I don't have a whole lot of stuff going through. You know, the clutter, the noise, the I got to do this, got to do that. I took my work app off my phone 3 years ago. Because, see, I go to work and then I go home. And the good thing is I don't like to work from home. So, because I tell the folks, I go home, that's where I rest, that's where I restore. When I go to work, I do the job that you want me to do. So do not, in fact, if they email me, they text me, I'll see you tomorrow. And I mean, I run a 23,000 square foot center, but nothing has been lost. Money has been gained. We're still doing business. So sometimes, and I'm just going to speak as a woman, we feel we have to take on the whole world and then another world that doesn't even exist, right? So, you know, what I'm learning is that I can slow down. I can still be present. I can be present for you. But first, I got to be present for me. You know, really, I got to be here for Barbara. That's just it. Because then I can be present for you. They said every time you fly on the airplane, okay, make sure when the thing drops down, get you some oxygen, and then you can give some to somebody else. This is how we have good times in programming and recovery. We got to get back to ourselves. You're right. And keep it simple and sweet. Kiss. My name is Barbara. Thank you all for being here. Thank you, Barbara. That's it.
Thank you, Barbara from Atlanta, for speaking on The Good. And in keeping with our theme, The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly, I present to you Judy Kay, who's going to speak on The Bad.
Thank you, my dear.
Hi, everyone. I'm Judy Kaag, and I always say I'm a grateful compulsive eater. I'm going to start by qualifying, and I have to write it down. I'm not good with numbers, so I have 23 years, 4 months, and 17 days of back-to-back abstinence. I thought it was 21. That's why I have to write it down. What does that mean? It just means one day at a time, I'm able to work the steps, the tools, do exactly what we're supposed to do, stay abstinent, and it's just working in 24-hour compartments. Talking about the bad. So in these past many years, a lot of what you might call bad things have happened to me, but I'll call them challenges that God has sent me. So my two parents got sick and eventually passed away. My husband had 4 cancers in 2 years and eventually passed away. I broke my hip, and now I'm learning to live on my own. But what has really helped me in this program is my sponsor taught me that when bad things happen, challenging things, your abstinence and your program has to be even stronger. And she had an analogy for me, and the analogy was that you're in a fort, and we practice the program, we do what we have to do, but when people start challenging the fort, coming toward us, or situations coming toward us, we have to be stronger. That means strict black and white abstinence, very strict. And then making sure that I make my outreach calls and doing a question every day, talking to my sponsor about what's really going on. Not like, oh, everything is good, but really talking about what's going on. And my sponsor has me write letters to God when things are tough. And the letters are like stream of consciousness. This is going on. This is how I feel. Help me, guide me, show me what to do. I've also learned that nothing, absolutely nothing, happens in this life by accident. It's all God bringing me, or your higher power, bringing me either a lesson or something wonderful. I'm just going to give you some examples. When my parents started to get sick, they lived in New York, and I lived in Las Vegas with my husband, and they really needed my help. So I said to my husband, would it be okay if we started to make trips to New York? And we found a way to do that. Every time we went to New York, I would say, God, help me really be of service to my parents. They gave me so much my whole life, some good, some bad. But now is a time of healing. And I was able to use that time to heal everything. And because of that, I never felt guilty after they passed. I told them I love them. We put them in the 2 wheelchairs and we took them to the movies. We went through old scrapbooks and talked about the past and what we've done. And it became a time of, I can't exactly explain, like a bittersweet time of loving and joy. I had a lot of difficulties with my father. He was quite verbally abusive to me, and I did my 4th step, I did a 10th step, and I was able to heal all that, realizing he did the best he could. He thought I was too sweet, too sensitive. He wanted to give me that militaristic growing up, and it wasn't good for me. I was a sensitive kid. But he helped me with a lot of things. He taught me a lot of things, and for that, I'm grateful. I think that when those kinds of things happen, both with my mom, my dad, and my husband, that God gave me a spiritual contract. What I mean to say is, if I can see it from a bigger perspective, My husband was dying about 5 years ago, and I realized God wanted me to help him pass over. That's a whole different feeling than if you say, why is this happening to me? Woe is me. I was abstinent in every step of the way when something happened. I just said, okay, God, what is my next step? What is my next step? And what happened with my husband was he had these four cancers, but when we were on this, he had his kidney removed, and the Mayo Clinic said, he's free, he's cancer-free. So we were able to go on a cruise to Asia. While on the cruise, he started to have some pain and then eventually became medically discharged. So I was alone with him in Hawaii at a hospital when the doctor did a test and he said, your husband has pancreatic cancer and he will probably die within 2 months. What did I do? I did an outreach call to my very first sponsor, who I absolutely love. He was in the hospital. I remember walking on the beach and I said, what do I do? How do I approach this? And she was a tough sponsor. I absolutely love her. I don't know if any of you know Norma T, but she's 91 now and she's still amazing. So she said to me, look, honey, he's going to die. All right, you know that. But your job is to show him all the love you have, do everything you can for him, and just keep turning it over. That's what we do. We surrender our food, we surrender the bad things that happen, and we try to learn what is the bigger perspective. And I have to say, he had a great death, a great passing over. I know it sounds funny to say, but if I was in my disease, I'd be crying, I'd be miserable. But instead, you know, I could take the high road. Eventually, there was nothing really they could do. So he wanted hospice in the home. And I said, you sure you want this? And then I asked God, what is my role? I was able to invite everyone that meant a lot to him. They'd come up for breakfast. That included his ex-wife and her husband. And then another day, I invited the daughter and his stepson, and they were all able to tell him how much he meant to them. And then he had started a music store in Durango, and a chaplain came over and told him how much he meant to the whole community. It was beautiful. One thing I really remember is his stepson had a lot of anger. And when he came over, I said, you know what? Bob is over there. This is your opportunity to heal. If you don't take this opportunity, you'll never have it again. So go over there and talk to him. The next thing that happened is I looked over and there he was sitting on my husband's lap, hugging him. And that's what we can do for people because we've done it for ourselves through our fourth step and our tenth step. And it was just a beautiful thing to see. And going forward, he eventually got married and I'm sure it helped him in his marriage and in his life right now. The other thing I wanted to share with you is when I broke my hip. This was during the pandemic, and I was walking along outside with my dog, and I saw lots of people coming, and I thought, I better put on a mask. So I had no dimensional sight, and then my dog pulled me, and I ended up falling on the sidewalk on my hip. And my hip was broken. Well, of course, we believe that God will provide. So two people came over to help me. They said, what should we do? And they called the paramedics. I said, all right, God, please help me to know what to do. And the paramedics came. Another friend took the dog. they got me into this vehicle and they said, we're taking you to, it's called Summerlin Hospital. And out of the blue, I don't know where that voice came from. It said, no, I want to go to Mountain View. It has a better rehab. I'm telling you, that was not my voice. And they said to me, yeah, but you're going to be a lot of pain. It's a little longer. I said, I don't care. You know what? I was not in pain the whole time. And that's what this program has done for me, that connection with my higher power that I'm able to practice every single day. Pause, connect, pray. Someone talks about also the two-way prayer. I don't know if any of you have heard of that. It started in AA, and you can look it up online, the two-way prayer, where you ask a question, you meditate, and then you write down what your higher power answers. But I have to tell you, here it was during the pandemic. They brought me to the hospital. Someone operated on me the next day. I didn't choose that person. My brother looked it up. He was one of the best orthopedic surgeons in the entire country. And then people came in with masks because it was the pandemic. Everyone was so nice. I actually enjoyed talking to people in rehab because I had been isolated and alone in the pandemic. I love this program. I love thinking of the bad things or the challenges as just lessons from God. Every single thing that happens, that at first I think, oh, this is horrible, brings me a lesson. And I always say, what am I learning in my 10th step? What am I learning? And so it brings me either patience or strength, the ability to be of service to someone else, to get me out of myself. It's a whole different perspective when I'm abstinent, because it's kind of like when I was in my disease, being a little ant in a hole. I'm a victim. I'm miserable. I'm this. I'm that. And then with program, it gave me the steps to now I raise myself and I'm on a cloud looking at myself from above and thinking, oh, God gave me this bad thing to learn a lesson. It's a perfect lesson. Now that my husband has passed, I'm thinking, okay, God wants me to be here. What am I meant to do? I do a lot of service in the program. And I want to do more service. I was a delegate for 2 days. It was wonderful to be with all of you. And I keep saying, what is my next service opportunity? I love to teach. I love to give workshops, which I do. I'm an educator in another program. So thinking about what my purpose is, what my life plan is, but I can't do any of it without being abstinent, without living the steps. There's a wonderful worksheet. I'm sure many of you have it. It's called Getting Through Any Challenge with the Steps. And you take any one challenge and you take it through every step. And then when I get to step 4, I see what is my part in this. And I can make amends. And when I get through to step 10, I can clean up my part. I can see the character defects. And then I can be of service to someone else. I will end with this. Nothing, absolutely nothing happens in God's world by mistake. That's a quote from the Big Book. So I always remember that when bad things happen, it's not by mistake. Thanks for letting me be here.
Judy Kay from Las Vegas talking about the bad. Thank you, Judy. And she's last but not least, and she's absolutely beautiful, and she's here to talk about the ugly. Please welcome Vicky from California.
Thank you, Barbara. Hi, I'm Vicky, compulsive eater. So I'm going to sit some things here so I can come back and forth as I need to. So I'll start off with... I'll qualify first. I have, man, I'm so nervous. I just realized it in a second. Thank you, God, that I get to be here today. So I have a recommitted abstinence of almost 4 years. I recommitted on August 1st of 2020. And prior to that, I've been a chronic relapser for decades. I was first introduced to the OA, and the only message I heard during that time was, don't eat no matter what, and that confused the heck out of me. So I said, I forget that. And then, now that was my first introduction to the food 12-step program, not to 12 steps in general, but and then OA How. And I was with them in and out, chronic relapsing. And then when CEA How and OA How, that split happened, I stayed with CEA How. So that lets you know how many years I was in this horrible struggle with addiction. And then in the middle of the pandemic, someone in program called me, and I had stopped taking outreach calls. I had been in relapse for a year and 10 months at that point and stopped taking outreach calls. But I say for some reason, but it's God that nudged me to answer the phone that night. And it was someone who had been in relapse with me for years and years, and she had 7 days of abstinence, and you could hear the hope in her voice. And so that's where it all started. It must have been like July 31st because August 1st I got a sponsor. And here we are, you know. So I'm maintaining 108-pound weight loss. And literally the first time of having like this, because I would do 7 days and back in the food, 2 days back in the food. I mean, you know, back and forth like that for a long time. So I just wanted you to know where I've been and what a privilege it is to be at this point in recovery. So my definition of ugly, my part is to talk about the ugly. And my definition of ugly would be like a combination of bad situations that happened in your life, and then the wreckage of my past. So yeah, you know, just living, being human, bad things are going to happen. But then mixed with that for me was some choices that I had made long ago that then kind of came in along with the bad, and then during this recovery. So I had a situation, and you guys may have heard about it recently, where they had a cyber attack. I provide mental health services, and they had a cyber attack. And one day, with no warning, they stopped paying us. Just stop. No one called and said, we're going to stop. Nothing. It just stopped. And that's my ugly. Because, you know, it took my breath away when I realized, because I woke up expecting, like normal for years, that my payment would be in my account. And I just check it, just, you know, how we normally check. And it was not fair. And I didn't know at that point that because of the cyber attack, and then I made these phone calls and discovered that what was going on. And initially, I had all of the things that I used to have in the past. You know, the fear set in, the physical reactions in my body, all of that happened in that moment, you know. And in the past, what I would do to deal with situations like that, two things. First off, I'm going to start trying to control everybody and everything and go crazy. And then I'm going to eat and eat and eat and eat and make myself sick and then make everybody else around me miserable. That's just how I did life for years. But the lessons that happened for me during that time was, one thing is, leading up to that day, I had been working program, doing the seven tools, no matter what. And something happened in that moment that I think is just beautiful. Program kicked in. I got to that moment of acceptance. Part of the reason why I was in so much fear is because I had had some mismanagement on my own. Had I prepared myself in a different way, this would not have been as scary, this cyber attack situation and not being paid. But because of some mismanagement, that's why I say on my part. But the lovely part was that that cyber attack happened, the claim stopped, I stopped getting paid. But guess what? Here I am today. I'm okay, right? I lived through it. That was an ugly situation. I learned lots of lessons from it, and I got a chance to make some major changes in the way I manage things. That's evident now, and so I'm grateful. Another thing that I learned in that whole thing was living with uncertainty, because from that moment, I couldn't, once I talked to them and found out what was actually happening, what happened and what was happening, then God started teaching me how to live with that uncertainty. And I could do the things that that I thought I wouldn't be able to do. If I, you know, in terms of wanting to control the whole situation, I didn't need to do that. People started giving me information and showing me how to get my claims handled. And then eventually I started to receive payments. And so I'm on this social media with other people in my field. And I was on there giving tips about what they could do. You know, it was just crazy. Sharing information and getting a chance to help somebody else. And then practicing the principles of the program. That's another thing that really blessed me and continues to bless me in my everyday life, is when I pull those principles out. And you know what? I'm going to go ahead and read them. I mean, I know most of everyone knows them, but let's just do it, because you know, it's so easy to think that, it's so easy to think that I can rely on stuff about what I think, what I believe, all this stuff. But here are the principles of the program. For step one, honesty. Step two, hope. Step three, faith. Step four, courage. Step five, integrity. Step six, willingness. Step seven, humility. Step eight, brotherly love. Step nine, justice. Step 10, perseverance. Step 11, spirituality. Step 12, service. And so those are the things that I focused on during that time, too, that helped me to to deal with what was going on. And then doing steps 4, 6, and 7, because someone, when I first recommitted to program, the sponsor that I worked with gave me a 10th step for distress. I'm always talking about this sheet because it has been so valuable to me. I think I have 4 days into abstinence and she, fine, okay, 4 days into abstinence and she introduced this worksheet to me. It's a really simple little sheet and I have it. If anybody wants it, I text it out to people, whoever want it, you know, because it was so valuable. 4 days in, and she said, you know, if I get to a point where I'm stuck or I'm struggling, to use this to help me. And prior to recommitment, I was eating over everything. Anything came up, I'd be in the food, you know, before I could even understand what was happening. I had something in my mouth. And what I realized through using this 10th step for distress is that I realized one day, man, I'm not plagued with these food thoughts anymore. And what I had started to do is I had a plan of action that I could do when something came up. And then my brain and my body stopped looking for food when something tough came along. And so from that, I then identify, okay, what is my part? What's the defect that I'm dealing with? And then looking at what's the asset? What do I really need to do? And then it's almost like what happens when I start this sheet. I'm listing all this. Little by little, it clears away all that mess and junk that comes up in the head. And then I can hear from God. Okay, now here's what's next. And I think that's what happened during my ugly time with that cyber attack, is that I could slowly hear from God and take direction from people. Like the people in that industry, people who, you know, gave me tips on, like I told you, how to get through and get my claims paid. And then because otherwise I wouldn't be able to hear. God could direct me. And I think that's the biggest thing that I've learned since recommitting to program, is to take direction. And let's see, I know I have a lot. There's so many things I wanted to tell y'all, but I think that no matter what, that I get up and I do the same thing every day. And that's what you guys have taught me in this program, the tools. When I get up in the morning and work the tools of the program, no matter what, the days that are good, the days that are bad, the days that are ugly, that's just what I get to do. And then I had never experienced being on this side of recovery where, you know, now today, do you, something ugly happens, that's the last thing I want to do is leave here, or the last thing I want to do is pick up some food. I get a chance to do all these other things and get to have this beautiful life that I get to live today. And I want this, you know. I'm learning that God's will is good. It's always good. Yeah. Before, I'd always be trying to run from His will, but God's will is good. And so I'm just grateful to be here. I'm grateful for you guys, and thank you.
Thank you so much, Vicki. And thanks to all of our panelists today. How about we give them a big hand? Thank you. And thank you to our timer, Laura Kay from Durango. Thank you. And we have time for some sharing, if you would like to come up, and we'll do 3-minute positive pitches, if you'd like. We do have paperwork. If you want to share, we have to have a signature because they're recording us. And so when they set this up for the website, yes, you had a question? Oh, okay. Well, here, let me give you this. And we can make magic happen here. All right, and we'll do this, and I'll stall with a song, an interpretive dance, till she's ready. I'll tell you what, you want to talk about the good, the bad, the ugly, trying to get panelists for this thing? It was like trying to do a needle in a haystack thing. First of all, you got to find out if somebody's coming. First of all, you got to find out if they've got the abstinence requirement met. And then you want to find out if they want to do this. And it got to the point where if I got yes on all three, I was like, really? Really? Oh, my God. I felt like I got the cherries at the casino, you know, as I hit the jackpot. So, and I feel like I really did. So thank you so much, you guys. Thank you so much. You ready to share? All right. And if anyone is inclined, just raise your hand. I'll bring you the sheet so we can move quickly.
Thank you so much. That was fabulous. And I love that so much positive came from the good, the bad, and the ugly. What it made me think of is my first sponsor many years ago. I was like, why is this happening? And how could it be da-da-da? And she said, isn't it wonderful that God thought enough of you to know you could handle this? And it's not. Somebody had to be in that position, you know. So I really try and look at things that way. The other thing, I woke up this morning to a text that said, happy AA birthday, and today's my 26th birthday. Thank you. I know it's off the topic, but what it's made me see, and I totally forgot it was my birthday, didn't think about it at all. What it's made me see is how much I separate. I had gotten to where one of the biggest gifts I had gotten was that no longer was there this group of people and that group of people who didn't know that I did this thing or that thing and da da da. And that rigorous honesty. And all of a sudden, sitting here, thanks to you ladies, it struck me, Laura, you are separating things out with food. I didn't, as somebody said, giving my food to God. Well, you know, I give it to my sponsor every morning, and I don't do it the way that it could be separated. And that is the main thing that I got out of this, is don't separate any part of your life from another. And I know that has helped me for 26 years of being as rigorously honest as I can be. And I take it sometimes too seriously, but hey, it's worked, and I will no longer separate out food. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Eva Kaposa-Borida. Thank you, ladies. You know, you talk about the bad and the good and the ugly. When I came into the program in 2006, I couldn't stay abstinent for nothing. I went to in-person meetings, and I got a lot, you know. And I think I got more when I went to the 100 pounders, because you couldn't share unless you lost 100 pounds. But I didn't know how much God was working in my life. And now it's going to be in 3 years in September that I had straight abstinence, and that's a miracle. Because every time I got into the fourth and fifth, I couldn't do it. But it was because of the emotional roller coaster. I was afraid to let God take care of me because I had all the 12-step programs, but I was afraid. I was afraid because you have to do an inventory. You have to do all the steps. But what I'm so grateful is I've been having a lot of medical issues. One started with COVID. I was in the hospital. I didn't think I was going to die, and every 2 seconds somebody was dying. But I was pissed because they have to, I put IV with me full of sugar, and I was upset. I said, God, why is it all the time I wouldn't be absent? Something happens, you know? But everybody said, you could have died in the hospital. But I didn't think about that. Then the major one came when I had brain surgery. And you know what? You talk about the power of God. You know, I went in there, it took 6 hours for them to work on and I had an aneurysm and they went and repaired it. But you know, I believe today that God removed that addiction of sugar and flour. Mine was the sugar because I was crazy. You know, I didn't get overweight. The highest I got was 163 pounds. But I was crazy. And I couldn't see. Every time I go somewhere, I would get lost. And I was always labeling myself stupid, dumb, and ignorant because that's where I grew up, in an alcoholic home. They called you those labels. But, you know, I'm real grateful because I go to Phone Bridge, I go to Zoom, but I hear the message. It's that higher power. It's so powerful. Right before I came here, my blood pressure was 274. And I was constipated for 4 months straight, and nobody would do anything. And I said, okay, God, I need you. I don't want to get in the corner and be a victim. I want to take action. And I did. Oh, thank you. And God gave me that and found that solution for me. But I had to stay in the faith, and I had to believe what you guys had given me. I didn't eat over it, but I was pissed. But I had a right to be angry, you know? And I went off and all the professionals, and I didn't care because nobody cared about my blood pressure being 274. So it's not a big deal, but to me it was. And if it wasn't for seeing how I stood in the corner crying and taking out on my poor husband. But I'm grateful because you guys gave me those tools, and I keep taking them with me because the challenges are very, you know, they're scary when you have something and you don't have control over it. But I knew God took care of that. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, dear.
Would anyone else like to share? We have a time for a few more. You guys are so quiet. Great, thank you. Get your signature on there. You'd flip it over there. And then we need a print and a signature. Anything you say can and will be recorded. We won't say it's used against you. It's used to inspire. Thanks, Johnny.
You're welcome. I'm Johnny, compulsive eater.
Not me.
Hi, you guys. And I don't even know what I was going to say. I just wanted to get up and be of service. So thank you for what you shared. It was so inspiring. And I love this program. It's been so good to me. My abstinence date is December 28th. It was my recommitment date. And I remember when I was out of program, it was in 2022, and a friend in program called and said, see how I was going to Hawaii. And I wanted to go back to Hawaii because I had been in 2010. And when I went then, I said, I'm going to go back. And when she called and said that, I was like, well, do you have to be an active member to go? She's like, no. And so I went, and I had told myself, I'm not going to go back to program. I just want to go back to Hawaii because it's beautiful. Yeah, and so, and I knew I wasn't going to go back. I didn't want to. I didn't want to do the work. I just didn't. I wanted to eat what I wanted, even though I was miserable. And so I went, and I recommitted. And that is exactly where I was supposed to be, exactly what I needed, and I needed to be around you. I needed so much. And I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful to be a part of this program. This program, for me, it has everything. And I feel like this is my life. You know, when I was in the food, I didn't have time for you or anyone else. I only had time to eat. And that's all I would do. And I know a lot of people feel this way. When you get in the program, you feel like you got hours back in your day. That's how I felt. Like, wow, I have so much time. Well, because I wasn't eating everything all the time. And I'm just so grateful, and I owe so much to this program and to you. And that makes me want to be of service. So thank you.
Can I get your autograph first?
Absolutely.
You rock. Thank you all for coming this morning. It's kind of an early time, and it sure is nice to see such beautiful faces. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. I'm Cheryl, compulsive eater, and I'm really, really grateful. I just wanted, like, when Johnny shared about just being of service in whichever way. I was quaking in my boots back there. When I walked in the room, Vicky was speaking, and I immediately knew who she was because I hear her on the Phone Bridge all the time. But I just wanted to share about the fear. I was sitting, you know, she encouraged me to just get up and share. So for me, fear comes up. I remember going to a workshop in 2011. Fear comes up. She said, what are you struggling with? And I said, she said, write it down, one word. I wrote down the word fear. And then she said, okay, write another word that you would like. And I wrote down the word courage. And that was in like 2011 sometime. And she told the class, whenever fear comes up, imagine God giving you courage and you press through and do whatever that thing you're fearing. So that's why I'm standing here right now. But since then, I realized that God also gives me power, love, and a sound mind. Hey, Susie, I'm sorry. Power, love, and a sound mind. So because of this program, I have been able to do things that I would just dream about doing. I've been able to press through my fears and return to school. I've been able to press through my fears and run, walk the Los Angeles Marathon 2024. I've been able to, you know, abstain from overeating, from using food to numb my pain and my feelings. So I'm just really grateful. I hate that I miss my girl. All of my wonderful people up here on this. We got Judy Kay and Barbara. Judy Kay, you know, in one of my conventions, she was the one that was over the entertainment, and I did the Michael Jackson Thriller dance. Hallelujah. Okay, 1 minute. I'm just really grateful that God just took over just this moment and to give me enough courage to just, you know, connect with all of you, because I appreciate everyone. I see all these white bandanas, and I've called so many times when I'm in distress or whatever, all of you. And yes, so this is our family reunion. We're all coming together, and I'm just really, really, really grateful to be here today. And thank you so much for allowing me. Okay.
Thank you. We have time for one more share if someone would like to come up and say something. Somebody come up here and seize the moment. All right. Thank you very much. We'll get your signature after, okay?
Yeah. Thank you so much for this blessing and opportunity. There she is. There's my cousin. So last year, I got to meet my cousin, like two or three removed. We have a great-grandfather. But I am so thankful to be here. My name's Cindy J, and I'm from Salt Lake City, Utah. Okay. I would say probably my biggest blessing being in the program are the people that have transformed my life. I've made some huge moves from outreach calls. Actually, after a 30 years very abusive relationship, I actually fled this last year, and now I have the divorce ahead of me, and there's a lot of fear. And I'm Cindy. I talk to you all the time.
I realize it.
Yeah, and it was so funny because my passion is being a therapist, so I'm going to have to start, you know, my master's program if I get in. But and so it's so exciting. So many of the people that I'm doing outreach calls to are therapists and counselors. And it's just been interesting because right now I need so much of that. But I have been giving up time in my home and realizing now through some of my sponsors that I have been a doormat. So it's such a generous doormat and I need to claim my home back. So even though I have a rental that I've been staying in, I'm moving back in with that ugly person. But my son's living there and God is telling me, you get home and you get home now. I don't know that I could do what I'm doing without y'all. I really don't. And it means the world for me to claim back my dignity and my own power. And I have been so afraid. I've just bawled and bawled and bawled and realized when I need to just go home. And that's why I'm here, because this is home for me in so many ways. But physically go back to my own home. And as I started, not full time, right? Because I have two houses, but enough that I don't have the threat of having that stolen from me. I've had so many other things stolen from me. But I'm not a victim. I'm here to serve and to give to others. During this time when I did make that big move, I have a church community, and I was asked to be in a presidency meet group of over 135 families that the three of us supervise, serve, and give. And so between the two things, the CHOW and my church, I am so absorbed in service that I'm not feeling the pain and the grief I would normally. So I know there is a God. I was promised in a prayer and a blessing that my service would heal my past abuse and that I will be whole again. And I'm getting there. And I'm so grateful for everyone here that plays that role for me. And this is all I have to say. So with that, I'm done.
And teacher, you won. And then your signature printed and a signature. Thank you. And to close out, would you please join me in the serenity prayer after a moment of silence for the still suffering compulsive eater? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Thy will be done. Thank you.
Solid. Oh, hang on just a moment, gang.
You say God's will is good.
Yes, ma'am. Good morning.
Mr. Meter, I have a little token for you for being a workshop leader for us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Fernanda.
This was so fun.
This was so fun. Thank you. Yeah.
Best Beyonce was in the view.
And I was thinking that we would cover, like, the same thing. So I was listening very cerebral.
Thank you.